Okay, so embarrassed, neglected, and confused bread and halachos. When I first thought about these, I actually thought I'd be talking about some other aspects of bread, but then I realized there's just too much on this, on these issues that we're going to cover. I was hoping to cover at least personally, I believe it's a myth, and others believe it's a myth as well, the myth of A, mizonos breads, and B, the myth that you could possibly eat pizza without washing and saying hamotzi on it. I believe those are myths, but we will save those for
Shalom Pizza says you need one, you don't have to.
We'll save those for another time. Tonight we will discuss all three of these things people think have to do with challah. We'll see whether it actually does have to do with challah Friday night, or whether it's things that take place the rest of the time as well. But the first one is one that's a pretty popular saying out there. It's not really a myth. I'm not sure it really qualifies, but it does exist. We're just going to see to what extent it exists. So we all know the famous story of Phil and the Gadol. I think it's said about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, but it's said about many others as well, that some Gadol was at someone's house on Friday night, and they walk into the house Friday night, and the challah is uncovered on the table, and the Baal HaBayis yells at his wife and says, "How dare you leave the challah uncovered on the table? Don't you know that we're having Rabbi Yisrael? Don't you know that the bread's going to be embarrassed?" Right? To which fill in the blank Rosh Yeshiva, possibly Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, responded, "Excuse me, you don't think, you know, you're concerned about the bread being embarrassed, you're not afraid for your wife to be embarrassed, etc." So that's the standard thing. Why do we cover the challah on Friday night? Because we don't want to embarrass the challah. Right? So what's going on there? Why would the bread possibly be embarrassed on Friday night? And secondary, is that really the reason that we in fact do cover the challah? So let's take a look. So there is a Gemara in Maseches Brachos that's pretty much quoted in its entirety. I forgot to put the Ramah in italics. I apologize for that. There's also another famous tale in Lithuanian lore that when a bachur would come to someone's house in order to go out with his daughter or to get engaged with his daughter, or I don't know if it's in Lithuania or in America, whatever. So the test that if that bachur was an alleged Talmud Chacham, so he would get the following test. Right? This is why I don't think this is real, because I don't think they actually were able to afford all of these in Lithuania. It happened to him that they would take out a whole bunch of different foods, give it to the bachur, and say, "No, please indulge. Please have whatever," and of course he has to have everything on. I think it was like he's just insulting, and the test is what bracha is he going to make first, right?
Reverend Francis, I think they from the Colo in Chicago. He said, "No, thank you, I'm not hungry."
To avoid the Shiloh. Okay. Very good. But Francis said it happened to him.
Ray Francis.
Okay. Got it. Okay, so he says one of the Roshi Kolos there. Okay, there's some other Kolos there now. All right, so Kol HaKodem HaPasuk Eretz Kitav, Ruvian Brand, if you're listening, that was for you. Okay. The Kol HaKodem HaPasuk Eretz Kitav V'Sa'ora. So we have a Pasuk Eretz Kitav V'Sa'ora V'Gefen V'Tav Rimon Eretz Yishem V'Nudvash. So with the they start off by saying whatever comes first in that pasuk gets the first mention, right? The eretz basra hefsika inyan. However, it's not that easy, right? If it was that easy, then every yeshiva bach would be able to figure it out. Eretz chita sora v'gefen is not primor. Eretz emin udvash says no, it's not necessarily true, because each word eretz, right? The word eretz appears several times in that pasuk, so each eretz starts the story again, right? Eretz chita sora v'gefen is not primor. Eretz zeis shemen udvash. Right? So what does that mean? It means that if you had a zayis before a eretz kitas rav v'gefen ute na v'rimon, right? He had a rimon and a zayis, a pomegranate and an olive, so he would actually take the olive before you ate the pomegranate, right? That's part of the test.
That's no chiddush, because
in that way,
there's no second
eretz. Oh, no, you're right. Okay. At least my father-in-law thought I was right. No. Alright, anyways. Samachlo chashiv mehamu'uchar mimenu le'eretz kama, right? And whatever is closest to eretz, it comes first. So hilkach tamarim kodun la'anavim, therefore a tamar, a date, comes before the grapes. Shezesh sheni la'aretz basra, plus this is the second one to the second eretz. And the tamar, and the grapes is third to the first eretz. Okay, don't worry if you're not following all this. On third line it says haga. It says puts in the ramah. That's only if you eat the anavim, you eat the grapes as is. Avalim asa mehen yayin shekoveya bracha liatzmo. However, if you would make the grapes into wine, which gets its own bracha, bari priya gefen, right? Chashuva vihi kodemes levarecha latchila. Right? The wine will you'll always make a bracha on first, right? Wine will trump everything, right? So that sounds great, right? So that makes sense. What do you do Friday night? Make a bracha on wine and a bracha on bread. That seems like the way it should be. No. The Ramah continues though and says, Aval maisa kedera michameshas mine dagon, right? But something that's baked from the five grains, I mean bread, right? Hi chashuva yosemi birchas hayayin. That's even more chashuv than the wine. So what is the Ramah saying? This is not hilchos shab. This is hilchos brachos. If you have bread and you have wine in front of you, what bracha do you make first? You make the bracha on bread before you make the bracha on wine. Right? So that is already... So that's Hilchos Brachos. That's if tonight, Wednesday night, you go home and you're going to be having some bread and some wine. So you make a bracha on wine, but you make the bracha on bread first. So comes the Gemara. That's Hilchos Brachos. Now we take a look over to Hilchos Shabbos, or Hilchos... The last parak of Maseches Pesachim deals with the laws of Kiddush and things like that. Much of it has to do with the positive mitzvahs of Shabbos. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Ein alach look Rabbi Yehuda, look Rabbi Yossi. Don't worry about Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi for now. Ella, what do we do? Paris Mapu Makadish. Rather, if we are in the middle is discussing a situation, if you're eating and then it becomes Shabbos, so you the psak is that you cover up what you're eating. Right, you cover up your food, and then you make kiddush before you do anything else. Tanya nami hachish ein mevinas hashulchan ella im kein kiddush. That they don't. We have another brisa. We have another a statement, a Tanaic statement to that effect. That don't bring out the shulchan, don't bring out the table unless you've made kiddush first. And if you did bring out the table, paris maf makash, then you cover up the table and you make kiddush first, and you make kiddush at that time. So what's this Gemara saying? So the Gemara is saying that, sociologically, you have to understand the way the furniture was set up during the time of the Gemara, is that apparently they had these tables that used to run back and forth. You know, like, I always picture like in the hospital, you know, like those hospital tables.
It's what we would consider more like a tray.
All right, so whatever. Right. They would set the table. It sounds like they would set the table in the kitchen. Everyone would sit together with nothing in front of them. They would make kiddush with nothing in front of them. Then they'd bring out the food. Right? So that's what you're supposed to do. The Gemara in Pesachim says, don't do anything when it comes to Shabbos, until you've made Kiddush first. Or at least don't have any food out on the table until you've made Kiddush first. Right? So now we got a little bit of a problem. Because on one hand, we say that you should make a bracha on bread before you make a bracha on wine. On the other hand, now we're saying with Kiddush that you make the bracha on wine before you make the bracha on bread. Right, so how'd that happen? Right, so what trumps the other? Does Hilchos Shabbos trump the laws of Brachos, or the laws of Brachos trump the laws of Shabbos? Okay, so the Tosfos, the source number three says first of all, he has the following question, that there's the famous, I just put this in because you see it's actually a real Gemara. Bahad Amar Bechol Kisve, meaning the chapter entitled Kol Kisve in Tractate Shabbos, Matzah Shulchan Aruch Malach Tov Omer. That we have the Gemara there that says that if you find a table that was all set, so the good angel says to the bad angel, right? That's the famous, that's the story, right? So it's actually a real Gemara, right? Yeah, the two angels accompany the person home, right? Good angel, bad angel, right? If the table is set, good angel says to the bad angel, like, na 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 na, right? See, they're doing all well, and the bad angel's got to say, amen, and v'chein yirbu, and the opposite is true as well. What's the background to that another time? But
Right then and there.
So the Gemara. So what's Tosfos's question? Though Tosfos says, wait a second. We just said that the table's not in the dining room. The table's still in the kitchen, right? The table's not out yet, right? So what's the angel looking at if you don't bring the table out until you make kiddush? So Tosfos says, no. Lo kasha da aruchu b'makom acher. No, it was all set. It was just all set in the kitchen. They just wouldn't bring it out until kiddush was over. But nowadays, with our tables, Tosfos says, right, the way we're set up, right, most of our houses, right, so we have what we call a dining room table. It's a new modern invention of the apparently 11th century, at least, right. In our table, shehem gedolim yoser midai, that are very, very large, right. But kashula viim achar kiddush, and it would be kind of difficult to bring them out after kiddush. Shelo lahafsik kol kach ben kiddush l'seud. then, because that would cause a big, you know, a big tumult between Kiddush and the meal, right? I mean, I imagine in our house, besides having to get my kids' hands washed, we'd also have to schlep out the dining table. It wouldn't work so well. So, anu ragilim lifros mape ula kaddish. So, our custom is to put a covering over the table and make Kiddush, right? So, what's the reason that we're covering it up? So, here we go. So, mefurish b'she'iltos. So, b'she'iltos were, I think it's Rav Chai, it's the 9th century or so, from... later? No? Anyone want to debate that? No? Okay. So Rav Chai wrote a sefer called the Shiltos, what that is another time. Why do we then cover it up? So here is one reason. So that the Suda will get this specialness of Shabbos. What is it talking about, the specialness of Shabbos? So in a way, it's like the Dada effect, right? What's the Dada effect, right? And you pull something off and go Dada, right? So that's the first reason that Tosos is giving, right? Why do we cover up the table? Why do we wait until Kiddush is made before we see any food? In order to make it like a special thing, like now Kiddush has been done, now, here comes the food, right? As opposed to if all the food was made already, so then it wouldn't have the same effect.
You're also separating physically the fact that you're making the bracha on doing Kiddush in time before you're doing...
Right, we're emphasizing, we're making sure that we're doing Kiddush first.
Doing a motzi. If you're doing that in a physical sort of way as well, by covering... Is this the origin of covering the bread, or are we talking the same thing?
Well, here we're talking about covering. Yeah. Here, well, we'll get to what the implications of this are. Okay. But he seems to be saying that you cover everything, right? You cover the whole table.
Yeah, I understand, but I mean, are we going to get to?
Reason number one. Why do we cover things at the table? Reason number one, in order to get this, effect of the food coming out only after Kiddush is made.
Is a tablecloth.
Right.
So you're not covering the food. You're covering the table.
No. He's talking about covering the food with the tablecloth.
Yes, you are.
Right. Come, that is answer one. So answer number two is v'yesh mafarish. This is the second reason. Zecher l'man. That why do we cover the food? In order to remember, as a remembrance to the man. Shelo haya yorei b'shabbosos v'yontov. Was the man specifically would not fall on Shabbos and Yontov. V'yatal milmala ulamata v'aman b'intayim. And the way the man was set up was that there would be man there would be a tal underneath, dew underneath, and then there would be the man, and then there would be dew on top. Right, so now what do you have? So that's we cover the bread, right? The bread itself is a remembrance to the man. What part of the bread itself is a remembrance to the man? Right? What?
They give them a portion. Then.
The fact that there are two of them, right? The fact that there are two of them is zeichel man, is remembering the man. So another way to remember the man on Shabbos, because it's the one day the man didn't come, but whatever. In order to remember the man on Shabbos, there's another remembrance to the man also. Anybody know what that was? Shal Shudis is also Zecher Laman. Well, it is. Whatever. But the couple of Mun remembrances. So in order to have the full Mun effect, so you have a thing underneath and a thing on top as well. Right? And that, in fact, is a source... So we have two reasons given. Neither of them have to do with the... neither of them have to do with embarrassing the bread. Now, it doesn't mean that the embarrassing... So if you just take a look, Shulchan Aruch quotes this, Sarek Shulteyi Mapa al Shulchan Tachas HaPas VaPas VaUmapa Acheres Prus al Gabav. Right, so Shulchan Aruch says, right, it's not enough just to cover the bread, but you have to have a covering underneath as well as a covering on top. Right? Remembrance of this mun business, right? You can't just put the bread on the table and put a covering on top of it, right? It's important that it comes up sometimes, right? It's actually supposed to be something underneath, as well as something on top, as well as a remembrance to the mun. So if you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah lived only 100 years ago, but he quotes the Torah in the name of the Yerushalmi, okay? So this is pretty... It's a pretty old source. The idea of the next four words are shlo yira'e hapas boshto, so that the pas, that the bread, should not be embarrassed. Right? Shein mekatshin lav el alayayin, and the fact that we're not making kiddush on it, rather we're making kiddush on the wine. Now, the truth is that's a hidden thing there, right? You could make kiddush on bread, right? It might be. I might have thought that because there is it's possible for me to make kiddush on bread. Right, and B, right, the bread should in theory have precedence over wine. Maybe I should always make Kiddush on bread because of the bracha issue. So he's saying that no, despite that, still it's better to make a Kiddush on wine. I think our first Friday night here, Chava and I, we get to Friday night. We weren't invited out, which is fine. I think that first it was fine. We weren't going out, and we sit around. And we're like, we don't have any
wine.
We don't have any grape juice. We don't have anything. So that Shabbos, we were mekadesh on challah. Okay, that means you have to wash before, right? That's really the source for those people that wash before Kiddush, right? It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. It's not a crazy minhag. Shulchan Aruch quotes the idea. I think the Ramah quotes the idea to wash before. Why would they wash before? Because that would generally, that might have been a poor region, right? And they would regularly make Kiddush on bread, so therefore the custom became to always wash before Kiddush, because the Kiddush would, more often than not, be on bread than on wine, right? So anyways, so Mishavers quotes that reason. And therefore, because the second line, who din kadim v'shar makomos, v'lefize im mekadesh ala pas in tzarech lichsos lev. So if you make kiddush on bread, you wouldn't have to cover the bread. Aval atam acher, right, if the only reason we are concerned is because of this embarrassing reason, if you're making kiddush on the bread, maybe you shouldn't cover the bread. But if for the other reasons that the Torah writes, that it's because of the mun, and which had the tal on top and on the bottom, therefore when you make kiddush on the bread, Tzarech lichsos b'mapi. You should cover it. Also v'chein noagin. It continues on as well. Same thing would apply during the day, and just if we continue five lines from the bottom where it says uvav beis ches aleph, right in the middle of the line, beis chaf aleph. What's beis chaf aleph? Uvechaye adam. Right, the Sefer Chayyadim writes, "Masha b'dilatam zechir leman tov sheyemechusa ad achar birchas hamotzi." That because of the reason of the mun, right? When do we really concentrate on the bread? We're really concentrating on the bread when we're making the bracha of hamotzi. Right, so in order to be, so therefore, what does the Chayyadim recommend? That to really fulfill the mitzvah of covering the bread, or not the mitzvah of covering the bread, but the minhag of covering the bread, one should really keep it covered until hamotzi. Right, by my practice to keep it covered until you make the bracha of hamotzi, meaning even through the bracha of hamotzi to keep it covered. Well, so now we're focused on the bread. Right, the bread has several aspects to it. One of them is zecher l'man. In order to chap that reason, right, so the lechem should actually be covered until you, at least until you make the bracha. But I think even through the time of making, the bracha.
You're allowed to make the bracha when it's covered.
You see it. It's not So again, three reasons, and we really pass like all of them. One of them is, you know, in order to reveal them, in order to have this magical touch thing, right? Another thing is the mun reason. The third reason is the embarrassed reason, right? So a couple other ramifications. I think my brother asked me a couple of weeks ago, could you have a transparent, can you use a transparent challah cover? Right?
There's no kisui.
What?
There's no.
Well, that's a question. First of all, you have the Shiloh of can bread see through transparent things. Right? Shiloh number one, right? But Shiloh number two, if the main reason is really Zecher Laman, right? So what was the do, right? The tal was see through, right? So in theory, it should hold true. So that was. So I told him, sorry, Ian, I don't know. But really, the main, it seems like the main reasons are the other two reasons, right? The two reasons that Tosfos quoted, the idea of, right, making it appear suddenly, and also the idea of the mon, with the embarrassed reason also playing a role, and a very nice thing to say over, but not perhaps not as prominent. So just two other...
By Shal Shudas, I can't remember what we
did. Right, so in theory, by Shal Shudas, it would be a good idea as well. I wouldn't say it's obligatory. It's not. To have two challahs at Shal Shudas is also a question. Wasn't required. Possibly, one should require two challahs at Shal Shudas. It should actually just be another myth that the obligation of Shal Shudas.
Well,
especially for this time of year, right? Okay. Anyways, so just two other questions.
That would be a good one.
Two other issues, Lemaisa. The Rav Moshe writes has the following shaila. This is a long list. The fifth volume of Igros Moshe. So it has several articles like this. That if you notice, like in a couple of books, in fact, probably there that one, The Radiance of Shabbos, as well as other some of the svarim, more modern svarim we have on the walls here. So they have sections in the back of like like long lists of questions that they asked to Rav Moshe Feinstein, right? That they went, but you know, as they're about to print their sefer, they go and Rav Moshe, I have like 30 questions. Would you mind dealing with them? And Rav Moshe would answer all of them. So, so a lot of those were actually collected and put in the eighth volume of Igros Moshe. This was written posthumously, right, which was a major issue for those that came to the brain death shirim, right, the idea of the posthumous printing of the eighth volume of Igros Moshe. But there are others that, you know, appear elsewhere and, you know, are not very controversial. So there is a section here that none of the questions have anything to do with each other, and it would be very nice if someone indexed this. I found it quoted, you know, someone sent me here. There is a whole list of shilas that Ephraim Greenblatt asked for Moshe Feinstein. Ephraim Greenblatt, you know, was from Memphis, from what I understand, made Aliyah. You know, one of the important people in the Memphis community for many years. So he wrote the many, many svarim called the Rivvos Ephraim. I mean, like, it's like a 20-volume, it's like many volumes of just questions, answers, actually available for purchase at the deli, kosher deli in Memphis, I saw. Anyways, he has a question here, which I put here on the page, that if, let's say you're in a big dining room with all the yeshiva guys, you all get together in the dining room, one person makes kiddush for everybody, right? One person makes kiddush for everybody, and everyone's got bread on their tables. So you have to cover the bread on your tables. And he goes here, and he quotes the Minchas 45, right? Yep. So he goes through, he quotes all three reasons. He says that he claims that the main reason is that the idea of Yakra de Shabsa, and he claims that we should in such a situation as well, that if you go to a if you're in a large dining room and they're having someone's making kiddush for everybody, but yet everybody's going to have their own lechem. So in theory, you should cover all of the lechem, right? So that's not so wild. That's still okay. What would be a big chumrah, however, is the next section. When after Rav Soloveitchik passed away, so Rav Schechter, now it's up to his third volume, but printed. He just wrote a whole lot of things about things in Huggos, things that his Rebbe used to do, traditions from Rav Soloveitchik, etc. So he has here, I put it on the page here, Ayin Tosos Psachim, that's the Tosos that we learned already. Dear Mastil Shebeshim Shiltas, right? She Iker Hatam Hahalachti She'im Anichim Esachal Sal Shulchim Agulus B'Shasa HaKiddush Hu. He can say, Sidasa B'Yakar D'Shapsa. Now what's the main reason that we cover the Chalas? Right, is because of this Yakra de Shapsa, because it's like a special thing for the things to be uncovered. Vilafize, you can see he quotes the other two reasons, but then says Vilafize Amar Rabbeinu, right? Rav Soloveitchik said Shenachum Lahachmer Bazeh Legabe Kol Hamachalim. That one should not just be strict with this regarding the challahs, but should even be strict with this regarding everything, all the food, and he puts in parentheses here the melon and the fish and the vegetables, right? And even in the morning as well. Maybe you don't have to be whatever, but certainly at night. It's correct to be stringent even in that case. Ubir inyan zed, the chemosha asr lechol kodem kiddush, and the reason is because just as it's prohibited to eat before kiddush, kemokim asr afil lahatil es hasa'uda kodem kiddush. It's prohibited even to begin the meal before kiddush. Vanachas ha'ochlin ala shulchan, hihi hakalas hasa'uda. And be putting the food on the table, that itself is beginning the suda, that itself is beginning the meal. So therefore, Soloveitchik was makbid, and it sounds like he was even I remember reading, I couldn't find it. I thought it was actually in here, but I couldn't find it in here. That one time he was at some kind of convention, and he walked out to lunch, and like sees all the food is on the tables. So he wanted to make all. So he had everybody take tablecloths and cover up all the food, like the entire buffet. He uncovered the entire buffet, and he said, "If it wasn't for the fact that the waiters and waitresses brought all the food out, I would have, you know, really make it that you should bring it all back into the kitchen." right? That really may occur. Then the food should all remain in the kitchen until it's ready for the meal. So that, sometimes it's practical, you know, keeping this chumra, sometimes it's not the most practical thing in the world. But it's important to keep in mind. Certainly, you know, at home, it's possible to keep this chumra. That the food will, you make kiddush and then all the food comes out kind of in one resounding hooray. Okay.
In the old building, I think we covered these points. I was just, how that happened was, I had a Mishnah Berurah here, I think the rabbi did, and there were myself and one other person was there, and there were two things that came out of it. One is the cover of the mezonos, when we had kiddush.
Right.
And the other was when after Havdalah, we covered the coast because the snakes getting in there.
Before Havdalah.
Excuse me.
By the before Havdalah.
Before Havdalah.
Right.
After Shalosh.
Right.
So those were the two things. But covering the mezonos.
Right, I hear.
For a while in the old building.
Even for Kiddush also.
Yeah.
Right. So for Kiddush, I'm not sure you have to be machmir on this. Probably because of the other, because of another halachic myth about how Kiddush works on Shabbos, which another time, I don't think what is mechuyev to do that on Shabbos, but, for the Kiddush, but for the meal, it's certainly appropriate.
But he just said you did.
He didn't say for Kiddush, he said for the meal during the day.
He said for Sudashni, not for Kiddush.
He's talking about, the Suda.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so Adkan Chalas, yeah.
So I always thought the reason was, one of the reasons was, because you're really supposed to make the bracha on the bread first.
Right.
And halachically, if the bread is exposed, you've got to make the bracha on that. That's why you don't know.
It's a halachic reason.
That seems to be a version of
this Kalbiyah. Let's see. What did that Yerushalmi say? Lo yireha paz boshto she'imakachna lov el al yayin v'hu yeshlo din kadima b'shari makomos. Bishop Brewer seems to be saying the other way. I'm not sure it makes a difference.
Yeah,
what would be the difference?
But if there is a sort of a special reason to make Kiddush on wine.
Right.
Makadisha yom on wine.
Right. Right, so right. So the main reasons that we seem to Paskin like have nothing to do with that, right? Making Kiddush first is not a question, right? It overrides brachos, Hilchos brachos, no question, right? And the two other reasons have nothing to do with embarrassing; they have to do with things specific to the bread. Right, or specific to the halacha that Kiddush has to be first. It's only this third reason of the embarrassed reason that you get into this brachos issue. Okay? Alright, so there's two other things that we do Friday night that I'm going to demonstrate. I don't think we have any more sources from Hilchos Shabbos the rest of the page, but yet people only seem to do them on Friday night. And they are, right, the idea of doing a little cut in the challah beforehand, right? And the salt, and putting salt, and using salt for the challah. So those, everybody does those on Friday night, and we just demonstrate that those are not Friday night halachos. Those are halachos and hilchos challah. That's what we do when we eat bread.
So that you're saying halacha of not giving someone a piece of bread but putting it down.
Yeah, that's there's only so many myths I can cover. That's not a myth. That's a real halacha. The idea of it's derech avelos to do that. Yeah.
I thought we use salt on bread because our table is now substituting for the altar.
Yeah.
And then
so it's only your Shabbos table that substitutes for the altar.
No, but when you're doing the bread with Shabbos, then that's why we give up. That's why we
give up. Right, but why only Shabbos? Why only Shabbos? So let's take a look. So the Gemara tells us. So the Gemara tells us here, source number 8. Amar Rava Mevarich Va'achar Kach Botzeya, that one should make the bracha and afterwards you break the bread, right? Afterwards you break it. Ardai Avdi Karevi Chiyav Rava Navdi Karava Amar Ravina Amri Li Aim, right? Basically quoting this halacha. Tzarek Shetichla Shetichela Bracha Ima Pas Rabban Avdi Karava. The Rabban would do like Rava and had the laws like Rava, that you make the bracha and afterwards you cut the challah. So comes Tosus there on the side and says, well, what was the Gemara talking about, right? The halacha is, right, it's better to make a bracha on a full piece of, on a full loaf, and then cut it, rather than cut it and only make a bracha on one slice, right? That's what the Gemara is telling us. So Tosafos says, Yeah. What was the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying, rather than put it in slices, it's better to make a bracha on a whole slice. Better to make a bracha on a whole loaf. That's true. However, Tosa says, it is a good idea to make a cut into the challah first. Why is it a good idea to make a cut into the challah first? Because that will minimize the time separation, the time space between the bracha and the challah. Right, that way you'll be able to get to eat it faster. Right, Tosfos explains here. V'yishenogin levarach berchas hamotzi kodem shiyachtel kedei shetei pas shleima b'shas bracha. V'ein haminhag nachon lasos to have a hesach hadas. Right, it's going to cause a separation of knowledge between the bracha and feeding. Umiyu b'shabbes nachon lahachmir. It's better to be strict on Shabbos and not cut at all. Ulevarach kodem shiyachtel and make a bracha before you cut it. Shlo tishamid yadu livtzoa kodem shetichla habracha. Because what we don't want you to happen is for you to cut the challah too much, such that you won't have lecha mishnah. So what's Tosfos saying here? Tosfos is saying here that it's every time you eat bread, there is an idea that you should cut it before you eat it. Maybe not cut the whole slice, because the Gemara says don't cut the whole slice, but at least to make a cut into it in order to minimize the time as much as possible between the bracha and the food. What is the one time that Tosfos says not to do it? Shabbos. right? It's a mitzvah to do the whole week. It's correct to do the whole week. Shabbos, Tosfos says, maybe it's not such a good idea. Right, and then the Shulchan Aruch continues, and it quotes this halacha, and he says to do v'tzarech, and the third line says v'tzarech lach toch ma'ak, you should cut a little bit, shim yachos b'prusa yale shar kikar imo, such that you should cut enough, such that if you pick up one of the pieces, the other piece will still come with it. Right, that's what you should still aim to do. If not, it's considered a piece, fine. But if, and then in the italics for the Ramah, but the first word on the line is haga. Right, the four lines from the bottom. First line is aga. Says it was Shabbos lo yachtoch bekikar ad achar bracha. Don't cut it before until after the bracha. Kishiyu hakikaro shlemos, that they be complete. However, if you did it, it's okay. Fine. All right. He continues on. So the Mishnah Berurah says that maybe it's a good idea to cut a little bit, a tiny amount, so you make a little scratch. Right. That's what the custom is. You make a little scratch, and then and that's the spot that you begin to cut for the rest of the meal. But really, Meikar Adin, it's better to do the whole week. I mean, the real halacha is all week you do this. Right. You all week you kind of that's a little hard to do with a sandwich. Right. How do you do exactly? So sometimes when you make the bracha, you're supposed to hold it in your hands. So you can what I do is I kind of like with my finger, I like cut in a little bit, so they have a little bit of a cut already in place. But that's nicker than that. That's the halacha, right? That you cut it. That during the week, there's more of a reason to do it than actually on Shabbos.
I thought that was one of the reasons you're choosing your bowl rare, because you're choosing the one you're going to make. Because there's two there,
right?
So choosing the one you're identifying that you're really going to do it on one and resist.
So, but that's a problem on Shabbos. What's the bowl rare?
You have two on there. I mean, that you're indicating which one you're going to make. Because like, maybe you're not going to use the second one.
Separating the good from the bad.
Yeah,
because there's no better. There's no good and better.
No. But you're identifying the one you're making the bracha on.
Find a source. I haven't heard that. Yeah.
I heard this, but no one
because you bought a
I heard it from somewhere that it's because so you don't wonder after it's broke out, where am I going to cut it?
Yeah. Right. Well, that's the idea that you want to minimize the time, right? But a little scratch in order to maintain the fact that it's a full challah.
Well, not just so why you can't see it, then you explain what I'm looking for.
Right. So, but also when you do it, you should in theory leave your knife right there, right? People make a cut and they put the knife down and then leave their hands around.
So
that's not necessarily supposed to do. You're supposed to be keeping your knife in place. That's what it'll. The Tosfos says that if anything, maybe you should do it during the, even though the Gemara says don't do it. The Tosfos is saying, it didn't mean don't do it at all, it just meant don't like make full slices, but you should still do it. However, Shabbos, you should be very careful. That's what Tosfos says.
To do what?
to not cut, because you want to maintain the full challahs. So this shavur then goes on to say, yeah, you put a little scratch in, you won't lose the melacha mishnah, and you'll still be able to maintain the custom. But we should just know what the halacha is. We should be educated consumers and know that what we're doing Friday night is that's a slight thing, but really the halacha is all week is when you're supposed to be doing that all week. Okay, so finally the last thing is that of salt. The Gemara tells us in Brachos, again a Gemara in Brachos, not a Gemara in Shabbos or Pesachim or anything like that, but Gemara in Brachos, verse number 11, Amar Rav Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chia. You shouldn't break the bread. I mean, you shouldn't make the challah until there's salt for everybody. Until there's salt in front of each and every person. Rava Bar Shmuel, however, being the same person, was visiting the governor of the Reish Galusa. Afiku le rifta uvatzel hadya. He gave him bread and he ate it. He did it without salt. So Amrulei, hey, Hadar Mar Mishmaite, did you backtrack from your original halacha? Right, you're the same person, right? We just learned halacha by you, right? Rav Bar Shmuel. So Amrulehu, least on Sarech B'Shash. He said, nah, this bread didn't require salt. This bread didn't really require relish. What's going on here? Why did this bread? Manishtan halacha mazeh mikol halachamim. So there again, Tosos raises. Right, all these were Gemara Tosos. Very good. So there again, Tosos raises the question, but Anu. That our custom is not to bring to the table salt and liftan and relish. We should, by the way, relish is like you might notice if like there's no salt, so people sometimes will like dip it in the tchina or will dip it in something like in yeshiva, right? You dip it in the tchina, right? But so that's the relish or something else. So why? So Tos says we don't have to do that. Why? The pashalanu chashuv, because we have better bread. Our bread is like the bread that was served in the Reish Galusa's house. However, Rabbi Menachem Hayyim Dachteik Ma'od Lahavi Melech Al HaShulchan was very careful to bring salt to the table. Kedisa B'Medrash, as it says in the Medrash, that when Yisrael would sit at the table and Umam Tinen Zedzeh Achi Yiltu Yudayhem Vehein Below Mitzvos Hasatan Mekatrig Aleihem Ubris Melech Magin Aleihem. That if they're sitting around doing nothing, right, which is what happens, right, when you're waiting around for the guy to come back and make the bris, everyone's sitting around doing nothing, right? So it's bad news, right? There is something wrong. So the bris melach, whatever that means, another time, right? We're out of time. But the bris melach magen aleihem, the bris melach will protect them. So that's reason number two to have the salt, right? It seems like reason number one is because the bread won't taste good otherwise, right? So in order to make sure you have good bread, you've got salt. So reason number two is the idea of being protected from the satan. And then the third reason is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Right there, three lines from the bottom. Ki hashulchan dome lemizbeach v'hachila kekorban, because our table is like a mizbeach, our table is like a altar, and our food is like a korban. Those of them learning Daf Yomi know that every korban has to come with salt. There's actually a little big salt ball. Like my impression is like, you know, like the gymnasts as they're about to there's like this big salt ball on top of the mizbeach that like as they get up there they would like throw salt on their korban, right? Like the gymnasts. Right, the powder, right? So who magamina pros, and that will also protect them. So the idea of salt is in theory there's nothing specific about Shabbos other than maybe our table on Shabbos is a little more mizbeach thick, right? But still, there's nothing specific about Shabbos. It's a din. It's a halacha of the whole week that one should make sure to have salt, and maybe. Assuming like Tosas Meikra, then you don't really need salt, but it's certainly a hiddur or a mitzvah to have salt during the whole week, just as we do on Shabbos. So with that, we will conclude the myths of embarrassed, neglected, confused myths of bread in halacha.